welcome to the 186th episode of The Week with Roger, a conversation between analysts about all things telecom, media, and technology from Econ Analytics. I'm Don Kellogg, and with me, as always, is Roger Entner. How you doing, Roger?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, Roger, I heard that this week we're going to rant about net neutrality. So let's hear it.
Well, it's deja vu all over again, right? For the, fifth or sixth times, we have net neutrality and have it not, and then we have it again, and then we have it not. After, almost 5 years of having no net neutrality and the predictions of imminent doom and an internet coming to a crashing halt and wireless networks being brought to a standstill and edge providers being driven into bankruptcy, none of which that happened. We have the FCC vote again on net neutrality. Why? Literally, why? All the things that the FCC warns us against, or the Democrats on the FCC have warned us against, did not come to fruition, right? I wish the FCC would stop trying to legislate imaginary problems rather than looking at actual problems and fixing that. I still get robocalls on a daily basis. Why is the FCC not doing something? Why is the FCC not going after the telcos that are being used as an onboarding vehicle for it? It has the power to do it. No, they rather fix something that doesn't really exist, isn't really a problem.
Well, isn't there some degree of, I know there's been a lot of debate back and forth in terms of whether or not something like slicing, for example, would qualify under net neutrality or not.
Slicing is not part of this exercise. The FCC did not include that in this discussion.
Okay. That part of the roadmap is fine, right?
Right. And the topic with slicing is carriers have been derided as dumb pump pipes and that all the innovation comes at the edge. Net neutrality makes sure of that. And slicing is one of these examples where dumb pipes become smart pipes. And I'm very glad that the FCC is not touching it as part of this. I hope it will never touch it because we want to have smart pipes. And we don't want to have that innovation happens only at the edge and all the value gets created at the edge. You know, the companies that the FCC is protecting with this are the most valuable companies out there. And then they have like the audacity, I'm sorry, to say, oh, we can prevent wireless carriers from selling location-based data. They don't do this, or they've done this on a minimal scale. The guys who really make money on this are the edge providers. And the FCC is like, oh, that's not our problem. Well, if you're trying to help the consumer, then really help the consumer, right? Because what they're doing is like, oh, we can help you here with a raincoat, but it only will protect the left part of your body. You know, the right part of your body will still get wet from the edge providers. Oh, too bad, right? I'm still wet. Ridiculous. They had a press release, and all of the things that they addressed here are either no problems or they can already address and do address. This is like living up to a campaign promise by President Biden from 5 years ago.
So let me take the devil's advocate position here, right? We're upset about, you know, net neutrality presumably coming back. We lived without net neutrality for 5 years prior to that, or without net neutrality for 5 years prior to that. Under both circumstances, the world didn't end. The internet didn't come to a screeching halt, right? So like under net neutrality and not under net neutrality, things have generally continued to pace. And so articulate the threat here.
The threat here is not necessarily net neutrality. I think there's bipartisan agreement, and there's like agreement from the Republicans on Capitol Hill. Yes, let's do net neutrality, but let's do a clean net neutrality bill. This is an institution of something called Title II, which gives the FCC wide-ranging powers what to do, which includes price regulation. And they're already looking at that. We know that. And so it's about that this is based on Title II, not on net neutrality per se. But the Democrats refused to take up the Republicans on the offer to do a clean net neutrality bill in Congress. And fine, right? Now they want to do it with Title II again. You know, the gyrations to justify and make it work with Title II is just outrageous. But they insist on doing this, so it will probably, it will end up in the courts. We know that. This whole thing makes a mockery out of the FCC being an expert agency, when every couple of years it reverses its opinion on a fundamental way of how the internet and how mobile and broadband in general are being treated. If anybody is undermining Chevron doctrine, which means the expert agency, quote unquote, expert agency, knows best about how it works. What we know now is that it changes opinion every couple of years.
Well, I mean, that's because it's run by political appointees, right? I mean,
yeah, but that only started with net neutrality. Generally, in these fundamental issues, we had bipartisan agreement. We have bipartisan agreement, or at least we have Republican offers of doing a clean net neutrality bill. And the Democrats are refusing to do that because they want to have the Title II hammer. That opens the door for so many things.
Right. So, I mean, doesn't that swing the door wide open for major questions doctrine and all kinds of legal challenges down the road, right?
Exactly. Exactly. This whole thing will end in two ways. Either the Democrats will lose in fall, right? And then the next Republican chairman will do what Chairman Pai did 5 years ago and reverse it. Or it will go all the way up to the Supreme Court. And when you read the tea leaves with the Supreme Court, there's more and more doubt about Chevron deference and more about major doctrines. And in a way, the Democrats can only blame themselves because on one hand, they say, oh, this is so small, it doesn't matter. And at the same time, they say, this is the biggest, most important thing about the internet. It can't be both things at the same time, right?
Yep.
So either this gets reversed with the next administration if the Republicans win this in fall, or it goes before the Supreme Court. My money is on this losing on the Supreme Court. But I think this is not about winning or losing. This is about living up to campaign promises.
But I mean, like, to kind of double back and double click on the harm, right? Like, what you're basically saying is that, you know, this is the FCC getting deep into something they don't need to get deep into. What we've seen is that, you know, life didn't end under net neutrality, didn't end without net neutrality, but the expert agency status of the FCC is in doubt, given that they're flip-flopping on this and, you know.
Yeah. In the short time of like a year or so where we had net neutrality in the previous Democratic FCC administration, nothing huge happened, right? There was a decline in capital investment. And it depends on who you ask. Some people say it's because of Title II. Others, the people who are fans of Title II, say like, no, this is a natural aberration. So who do you pick, right? But in the short time period where it was active, nothing major happened. It just opens the door, for example, to price legislation. And we know that a huge topic among the FCC and Democrats on the Hill is that broadband is not affordable, and that they need to institute price controls.
Right, but this is coming from the same folks that are unwilling to extend the ACP, right?
The Democrats want to extend ACP. It's the Republicans are holding that back, which I think is misguided as well, right?
Right.
Because you want to make this affordable for everybody. But the right way to do this is not to force companies into price control. Just because you don't like the price of eggs doesn't mean that farmers will now only be allowed to charge, you know, 5 cents for an egg, so that in the retail world, it's $2 for a dozen, right? That's not how our economy works.
Right. I mean, it's fundamentally at some level a question of who pays for it, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, industry doesn't want price controls and, you know, the Republicans may not want the government to pay for it, right? So here we are.
I think nobody should want price controls, especially not for an essential industry like telecommunications that is under a lot of pressure from Wall Street anyway around its future growth prospects. You know, one of the really interesting things we see, especially around wireless, is like net promoter scores have gone up significantly, which I look at as a testament of how the experience got better. Because we just looked at it yesterday, right? And I'm like, why did people get happy pills here on mobile? And I was like, is there something wrong with our...
Yeah, so I mean, to be specific, right? We've seen that net promoter is flat for broadband, generally speaking, across the industry.
That's where I was aiming at, right?
But that for mobile, it's gone up significantly and consistently.
Exactly. And that gave me faith in our numbers, because otherwise I would be like, you know, why is our panel on happy pills, right?
Right.
And it's the same panel for mobile as it is for broadband. And one is going consistently up, which is mobile, over the last 6 months. And broadband is staying the same. So there's no bias in the numbers that we see. But we know, especially in mobile, customers are objectively getting happier, which is great. And then we get Tidal too. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll definitely follow it. I'm sure this won't be the last time that we're going to be talking about this or ranting about it, because I know this is one of those topics that's near and dear to your heart, Roger.
It is one of those important underlying mechanisms that influences everything else.
Well, you know, we talk about it a lot when we talk about our own products, right? How you build something really matters in terms of how it works and how it performs, right? And this is a fundamental change in terms of the way that the internet is governed and legislated. And, you know, it's something that everyone should think twice about. If we like the internet that we have, you know, we maybe shouldn't overregulate it.
Because they can't demonstrate anything that factually went wrong. And so I'm a proponent of a regulatory response when there is a demonstrable market failure. There's no demonstrable market failure whatsoever.
All right. I think that's a good place to stop it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.